Juan Jose Valdez is a National Geographic geographer and National Geographic Maps Director of Editorial and Research. He guides and assists the Map Policy Committee in setting border representations, disputed territories, and naming conventions for National Geographic. He is also responsible for ensuring the accuracy and consistency of the Society's maps and map products. Born in Havana, Cuba, and raised in the U.S., Juan Jose oversaw the development of National Geographic's groundbreaking new map of Cuba, National Geographic's first rendering of the island since 1906. He also was assigned to help lead National Geographic's cultural and educational tours to Cuba. Today we'll speak with Juan Jose on the just-released 10th edition of the National Geographic Atlas of the World, which marks the 100th anniversary of cartography of the prestigious society. Welcome, Juan Jose, and thank you for joining us today on the Book Report.
Thanks for having me, Elaine.
Tell us a bit about the history of cartography at National Geographic.
Well, this coming March, we will be celebrating our centennial, 100 years of cartography at National Geographic. However, if you go back a little bit further, we've been mapping the world since the first issue of the magazine, which was published in October of 1888. We really didn't have a formal cartographic department until 1915, however. So that's a brief history.
Okay. How did you become a cartographer?
Well, I've always had a great interest in maps. When I was a little boy, I was introduced to geography through going to the airport and watching planes come in and then going home at night and trying to figure out where all these planes were coming from. And one thing led to another, and I was fortunate enough to make cartography a career, and I've been doing such here at National Geographic for just about 40 years now.
Oh, all right. I know this is the new edition, the 10th edition of the National Geographic Atlas of the World. How does this atlas differ from the last one that was issued?
Well, we've added many more reference maps, 9 new reference maps, as a matter of fact, of areas that are currently in the news or of geopolitical significance. So, for instance, England, Scotland, and Wales have their own separate map. The Mediterranean region has its own separate map. We focused in on South Africa, the first time we've done a fairly detailed map of that country. We also have mapped Australia at one consistent scale on 3 separate pages, so that's, there's much greater detail in that continent. Then we have 20 thematic maps which have focused on themes, basically trends that are taking place on the planet today, whether they be tectonic issues or cultural patterns or economic patterns, they're all there. So we've made what we consider to be a practical resource that will assist the user, family, business to better understand what's going on around the world today.
You know, when you look at the atlas, you'll see that it has a great diversity of subjects, as you said. For example, there are even sections on space and maps of the ocean floor. How many different professionals work on the atlas, and from how many different areas of expertise?
Well, we had 14 cartographers work on this atlas in various areas. However, we did reach out to many, many sources, many agencies to provide us with the latest detailed information into specific topics that we were mapping.
So how many years did it take to create the new atlas?
Well, it didn't take years. It took months, basically 11 months from start to finish. And that sounds awfully fast, but you have to keep in mind that we already had much of this cartographic information stored in our database. It was just a matter of going in and updating the information that we had. The thematic maps at the very beginning of the atlas were a different story. We had to do some redesign, some additional research to bring those plates up to speed. But overall, most of the information was basically existing in our database.
We're speaking with Juan Jose Valdez on the Book Report. You know, you mentioned Scotland. I just visited the country, so I studied the Scottish map extensively. How large does a town or village have to be included on the map?
Well, at the Atlas level, we're talking about a populated place with 1,500 people or more.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, if it's of importance, historical importance, or of cultural significance, we'll show it on the map.
Has climate change affected the Atlas from its last version?
Ever so subtly in some areas and dramatic in others. So, for instance, the Aral Sea, due to channeling of rivers and some climatic relations there, is much smaller than it appeared in the 9th edition Atlas. But the most significant change was on our Arctic Ocean plate, where the extent of multi-year ice is considerably smaller than it was in the 9th edition Atlas.
Well, here's kind of a tough question. In a time when Google Maps are so widely used, what is the future of an atlas?
Well, that's a very good question. The future of the atlas, or an atlas, is that it's a tactile vehicle. You can really take a look at an area on a much larger format than you can on screen. You can better see the interconnections or geographic interconnections of areas, regions, and countries in an atlas than you would otherwise see on a screen. You're rather limited there. And then there's that whole, like I said, tactile experience of touching, feeling, exploring, something that, from my perspective, is a little bit difficult to do online.
Yes, I would have to agree. I'm just wondering, you know, with such volatility in what used to be the Soviet Union, Greater Russia, and also countries in Africa, I mean, is there an online companion to the Atlas when there's a significant change in borders that you direct people to?
Well, currently we are revising our World Atlas app, which is basically a version of the 10th edition Atlas, and what we plan on doing is just updating the app to current standards, and of course if there's a earth-shattering event, we will revise the app accordingly as quickly as possible.
And where can people get the Atlas?
The Atlas can be found at shop.nationalgeographic.com, through Amazon, and through local bookstores. The world is an ever-changing place, and to keep this in mind, a map is the greatest of all epic poems. Its lines and colors show the realization of great dreams.
All right. Well spoken. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you, Elaine. My pleasure.
All righty. Goodbye now.
Bye-bye.